Thank you for that song.
Amen.
And good morning to each and every one of you this morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. If you will, open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews and chapter 13. The book of Hebrews and chapter 13. I want to read verses 20 and 21, what some would call the benediction of the apostle, here after he's written this epistle. I'll begin reading in verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And let's pray. Father, we do pray that you bless us this morning. Help us to understand your will and be in subjection to that will, and that we might glorify you. If there's anybody in this room this morning that hasn't known you as a Savior, that their eyes might be open to know you and to call upon your glorious name, that they might be saved. I pray that those saints of God that are discouraged might be encouraged. Amen. Those that are looking for your will, that they might find it and accomplish it. And most of all, that you would get the glory and praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned earlier in a previous message that my grandson likes me sort of outline the message before I give it. So I thought I would fulfill his desire and just give you an overview of what's going to happen here this morning. First of all, there is a point I want to focus on in this particular passage, and that is the will of God. So we're going to get to that, and we're going to talk about the will of God. But before that, a synopsis of these two verses. I'd like to give a synopsis, and then I would like to show you three things about the will of God. First of all, doing the will of God pleases God. Second of all, some things are clearly the Word of God. And then third of all, that complication or that perplexion that we have is when we don't know the will of God and what to do. And I'd like to try to show you some things that we can do so that we might know the will of God. Fair enough?
Amen.
All right, hope he's happy. All right, what does he say here? The God of peace. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have a God of war? That we have a God of peace, that he wants us to have peace. There is no peace with the wicked. But our God is a great God, and he's offering reconciliation to his enemies. He's willing to forgive his enemies that there might be peace between the enemies of God and God himself. And let's just be clear, he's talking about you as the enemies of God. He's talking about me as the enemy of God. And God is interesting in making peace with us.
He does not
want to condemn us.
Amen.
As a sister sang. His desire is that we might be saved and forgiven, that we might have fellowship with him. And let me tell you something, if you don't know him, you can know him through the Bible and through the scriptures and the gospel, the good news that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Aren't you glad he did that?
Amen.
I'm glad. I'm glad he's a God of peace. I'm glad he's interested in reconciling us. I'm glad he gave his son on the cross that we might be saved. I'm glad that salvation is free and all those that call upon his name may be saved. It's a glorious thing. Religion makes it difficult, but God makes it simple through the work of Christ. And so he says, the God of peace. This is his benediction. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Did you know that he brought again from the dead? This world, the leaders in this world had, and even religious people, had ill intentions toward our Savior. He did nothing wrong, even though that man, that Pilate, that condemned them, said it several times, I find no fault in the man. He even asked the crowd, what should I do with the king, your king, Jesus? What should I do? And unfortunately, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. What a tragedy. They had an opportunity to know their Savior. That man that did well in all that he did, he healed the blind. He raised the dead. He cleansed the leper. He walked on water. He calmed the sea. Everything he did was great. You know it and I know it. And yet they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Beware of religion.
Amen.
Religion will lead you to the place that you'll crucify the Savior. Beware. But God rose him again.
Amen.
That's an amazing thing. Listen to what the apostle Peter said. And Peter said, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. What a glorious day that was when he rose up Jesus. The religious leaders and the politicians of the day, they washed their hands. They thought they're all done with him, but they forgot. The third day, he promised to come out of the grave, and that's what he did. God rose him up. And let me tell you something, if there is no resurrection, religion is vain.
Amen.
Yeah, you're welcome. There's another place the Apostle Paul said, God had both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Now that's a thing to shout about, that even though Alfonso died, he's going to be raised again. And you may have lost a loved one, you may have lost a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, a son, a daughter, but bless God, there's a blessing in the fact that God raised up Jesus, and all those in Jesus Christ will be raised again.
Amen.
In that great day. And that's what we have. We call it the great hope as Christians. We're going to be risen again, and I'm looking for the day when we stand before his presence. But in this text, he also says that great shepherd of the sheep. You know who that is?
Yeah.
It's not the Pope.
Right.
It's not Lindell. I know he's a good shepherd, but it's not Lindell. It's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Amen.
Aren't you glad he's a good shepherd?
Amen.
And let me tell you something, Christian friend, if you have doubts about your salvation, you're wondering if you can endure to the end. Let me tell you something. You're not the good shepherd.
Right.
He's the good shepherd.
Amen.
And there's a good thing about a good shepherd. A good shepherd doesn't lose any sheep.
Amen.
That would be a bad shepherd. And the Bible says, our shepherd's a good shepherd.
Amen.
He's a great shepherd.
Praise
yeah,
Lord.
How about that? He's a great shepherd. The apostle Peter said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Amen.
For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd.
Amen.
And bishop of our souls. We got a great shepherd.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, and he careth for your soul.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I want you to notice also that the exhortation here, or the benediction, I should say, is now the God of peace, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. The through his blood is a very interesting thing. Did you know there was a time in the life of Israel when they were in bondage in Egypt, and one day God told the people of Israel to put some blood on the doorposts? He said the death angel is going to come through the land, but when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Wow.
There's a lot of people who don't like to talk about the blood, but it's the blood of the Lamb of God that was shed on the cross for you and I, in which we have hope of salvation.
Amen.
What a glorious thing.
Thank you,
through
Lord.
The blood.
Amen.
Just a couple of verses on that. Colossians chapter 1 would be a good one. And verse 13 and 14, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
It's through the blood that we're forgiven.
Amen.
The blood of lambs and goats could not cleanse us from sin. Water baptism cannot cleanse you from the sin.
Amen.
But as we sing that old hymn, there's power in the blood, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's able to cleanse us of our sins. Oh, hallelujah, for the cleansing power of his blood. That same chapter down in verse 19, it says, for it pleased the Father that in Christ, in him, should all fullness dwell, that having made peace, the God of peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled.
Amen.
Have you been reconciled this morning? Have you been cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you saved this morning? Aren't you happy? He saved us. Oh, glorious thing. He rose again the third day. He overcame sin and the power of death, that the grave could not hold him, for God rose him up again the third day. Oh, hallelujah. What a glorious thing. But notice what he says here, and this is where he got to my point. That was the synopsis. We're coming into the end, and we're going to drive home to the points that I want to make this morning. He says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that's extra information. And what extra information that is, that's good information. That great shepherd of the sheep, look how it goes. Now the God of peace through the blood of the everlasting covenant, what? Make you perfect in every good work. To do what? To do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, God makes us something. Now, you want a synopsis of religion in the world today? There's only two types of religion. I know there's a lot of names of religion. I know there's a lot of denominations. Don't let that confuse you. There's only two types of religion. One religion says, you got to earn it.
Right.
And that's a lot of them out there, boy. You can find them on every corner, anywhere in the world. You can find a religion that says, you got to earn it. Now, they'll play games and tell you different things on what you got to do to earn it. One of them will say, you got to do a pilgrimage. One of them will say, you got to give up alcohol. Another will say, you got to get baptized. They have a lot of things. They'll tell you differently what you got to do to earn it. But basically, they're saying, it's this simple. You have to earn your own salvation. If you're not good enough, you're not going to make it. The good go to heaven, the good go to God, and the bad go to hell and the devil. That's a lot of people out there, and I don't know if that's good news to you. It's not good news to me, because I never was good.
Right. Amen.
Despite the fact that my mother said, you're a good little boy. She just didn't know me very well, and she didn't catch all the things that I did, and you're just like I am.
Amen.
You're just like I am. You're no better than me. I know you did things that your mama didn't know and your daddy didn't know, but let me tell you something. Something deep down in my soul said, God knows.
Amen.
And that gives you a little bit of trembling and scaring, the fear of God in you, realizing that God saw that. He said when he looked out in the days of Noah, he looked down on the world, God saw the world was filled with wickedness. And he repented him that he made man on the earth. And you know what he did in that time? He destroyed the earth with a flood. Don't you know God's looking in and God sees your soul? He doesn't see just what you do. He sees why you did it. Interesting. But anyway, that's one side of religion. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. And if you're good, I guess that's pretty good news for you. But if you're bad like the rest of us, that's not good news. We are not going to make it.
Right.
All those that preach, you got to endure to the end. They never do endure.
Right.
They don't get through a day without sinning in some way, shape, or form. But on the other side, and that's the side I take my stand, on the other side is, I'm a wretched sinner, deserving of hell, but I got a great Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep, that came and gave his life on the cross for me. Oh, what a vicarious salvation, that he died for me, and he saved my soul, and he can save yours too.
Amen.
I'm thankful to this day. Some 50 years ago, I heard that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what I did? Oh, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And you know what happened? He saved me.
Amen.
He gave me forgiveness of sins, and he changed my life.
Amen.
Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. We like these verses. These are great verses. I love these verses because such clarity. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, probably ought to read the whole chapter. It's a great chapter, but I'll condense it since I don't have all the time I thought I was going to have. But that's all right. Verse 8, I'm just picking on certain people. I'm not doing anything. Back on track. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Salvation comes by grace.
Amen.
That means you didn't merit it. You didn't deserve it. It's all grace. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. For by grace, and then notice what it says. Are ye saved? You are saved. The problem with that side of religion over here that says good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell and you got to deserve it and you got to endure to the end. The problem is they never are saved. They just never know. I don't know. I might be. God loves me. They're like the daisy. You know, God loves me. God loves. I don't know how that goes, but they pick the feathers off the day. He loves me. He loves me not. There we go. But he says you are saved. Now the only way you can know you're saved is if somebody else did it for you.
Amen.
And it's already done. And he says by grace ye are saved through what? Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? Gift of God. It's not a wage. It's a gift. The gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Wow.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Amen.
Everybody likes a gift. That's why people like Christmas. They want to get the gifts. I'm not going there. I'm talking about something else right now. But we like gifts, don't we? There's no greater gift than the gift of salvation. Don't turn down that gift.
Amen.
Don't say to that gift, no thank you. Take it. And give God the glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. But you know what? God did not save us with the intention of giving us a ticket to heaven. Now, I'm glad that's part of it, that we get to go to heaven because of the salvation, but that's not the purpose. Look what the next verse says. It says, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in them. In other words, the will of God is that we be in Christ and that we have good works that come from Christ. And that's what this benediction is all about. He tells us through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good what? In every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Let me tell you something. When you do the will of God, you please God.
Amen.
And when you don't do the will of God, you don't please God.
Amen.
Pretty simple, right?
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
I would think that if you are a believer this morning, are you a believer this morning?
Amen.
Have you been saved by the blood of Christ this morning? Then I would think, I would assume, I hope I'm not making a false assumption, you want to please God.
Amen.
You want to do His will.
Amen.
Have you ever asked the question, what is the will of God?
Amen.
How can I please Him? Well, we don't want to please men, we want to please God. And sometimes, by pleasing men, we fail to please God.
Amen.
Paul had this dilemma. He said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He said, listen, I'm a servant of Christ and not a servant of men. And let me tell you something. When you get saved, this old world is always wanting you to come back and serve them. In Christ, it says, I'm the shepherd of the sheep. Follow me. In other words, serve me. The will of God is that we serve Christ. How about that? He says in Ephesians chapter 6, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. In other words, the servants of Christ aren't men pleasers. It doesn't mean that you're never going to please a man. It means that your priorities are not the pleasures of men. Your priorities are the pleasures of God. And if that pleases men, great. But if not, we're still going to please God. That's what that verse was talking about in Acts chapter 5, where the apostles stood there before the council. And the council says, did we not tell you not to teach or preach in His name? What is it you have done? He said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said? And Paul's basically saying the same thing here in Ephesians chapter 5. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I think what he's saying here is the will of God is that we serve him from the heart. Raise your hand. I want you to catch this. The will of God is that we serve him from the heart.
Amen.
Some of you, where the congregation is big, it's probably highly probable that there's somebody here, not willingly. Maybe daddy grabbed your hand and said, you got to come to church this morning. You're here. Good thing to be here. It's good here to hear the word of God. It's good to meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're not here willing. Your heart's not in it. And any of you have had children, you know how that works. They are obedient, but not willingly. Not from the heart. Johnny, take out the trash. The trash gets taken out because he knows otherwise, no TV, no whatever, or he might get a swat on the behind if you're from the old school. Yeah? But he does it, but not willingly. And what is it we're trying to train our children to do? Not only to be obedient, but to do it willingly, as servants of Christ. Ah, let's not pick on the children. Let's bring it home to you and I. What is tomorrow? Tomorrow is
Monday.
Ah, everybody loves Monday, right? At least all my colleagues, I tell them I prefer Monday. They're always waiting for Friday. I like Monday. Monday's a good day, yeah? They like Friday. Why? Because Friday's the day off. Are you going to go to work willingly? And are you going to go to work as unto Christ?
Amen.
Yeah, I don't like my boss. I don't like my job. I don't like this. Okay, that's fine, but can you do it as unto Christ?
Yeah. Amen.
Are you doing everything as unto Christ?
Amen.
Aren't we supposed to do all things for His glory?
Amen.
Are you doing it from the heart?
Amen.
There are certain advantages of doing the will of God, and it behooves us to do the will of God.
Amen.
Did you know that you can be a brother, a sister, even the mother of Christ by doing the will of God? You remember that story? Christ's mother and brethren were outside. Jesus is having conversation with the disciples. People are gathered around. His mother and his brothers come to visit him and his sisters. They want to talk to him. But he's outside the, what do we call that, Bill? The bola. He's outside the group, the circle. When we were preaching in Mexico, we'd get these big crowds and people that want to come talk to us, they couldn't get to us because we had a crowd around us. And Jesus had a crowd around him and his mother and brethren came to see him. And we picked this up in Mark chapter 3. And there came then his brethren and his mother standing without, sent unto him. In other words, they're tapping on the shoulder. Tell him I need to talk to him. Tell him his mother's here. Tell him his brethren are here. Tell him that we need to speak to him. And sent on him, calling him, and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother and my brethren? For whosoever should do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And boy, doesn't that shoot and deflate Mary worship?
Yeah, amen.
You would think that if the Virgin Mary had powers of God, that when she beckoned, Jesus would have responded.
Yeah.
When they said, hey, your mother wants to see us, he said, who's my mother? My mother's that person that does the will of God. That could be you.
Wow.
How about that? There are advantages doing the will of God. Wouldn't you like to be the brother of Jesus?
Yeah.
How would you like to have Jesus as a brother?
Yeah. Amen.
1 John chapter 2, it says, love not the world. Oh boy. Neither the things that are in the world. Oh boy. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But listen to it. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
You know what? One day, you're going to wake up dead.
Yeah.
You're going to go lay down in your bed and you're going to be dead in the morning. Or you're going to get in the car and you're going to be dead. Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't want to bring bad news to you, but hey, let's face it, you're going to die.
Amen.
It's appointed on men once to die, but after this, the judgment, we're all going to die. We don't like to think about that, but we are going to die.
Amen.
And a wise man would prepare for that death, and he would set his house in order as the prophet commanded. Yeah, and you'd be prepared for death. This world is going to pass away. It's going to get burned up, not by climate change, but by the word of God. God is going to say, I'm done. It is finished. And poof, it's going to go up in a fireball.
Yeah.
Then what about all that stuff you invested?
Yeah.
Then what about all that time you spent painting that house, washing that car, buying new clothes, filling your closets? Where is it all going to go? It's going to get burned up. Now, a wise man would invest wisely, would invest in eternity. He says, if you invest in the world, you're going to lose. But if you do the will of God, you're going to abide forever. Don't you think it would be worth it to do the will of God? You're going to abide forever by doing the will of God. Now we know, here's a blind man that receives sight by the great shepherd. He said to the religious crowd, he said, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be something that you got God's ears?
Yeah, amen.
What's that old insurance commercial when D.F. Huff speak, people listen or something like that? Well, listen, he that doeth the will of God, God listens.
Wow.
Can you believe it? You don't have to go on a pilgrimage to San Juan de los Lagos. You don't have to chase after the Virgen de Guadalupe. God himself is willing to listen to you.
Amen.
If you do his will.
Amen.
Amen.
Why not go to God instead of anywhere else? If the Father himself will listen to you through the mediation of Jesus Christ, why would you go anywhere else? But the benefit of doing the will of God is we have a promise that God will listen. You say God isn't answering your prayers. Are you doing the will of God?
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Yeah, sometimes the promise of God comes with conditions. If you do my will, this is the reward.
Yeah.
You ever tell your kids that? Do your homework and we'll go to the park. Do your homework, we'll go to the pool. Clean up your house, make your bed, this is what's going to happen. And then when they don't do that, they're disappointed, they didn't get the reward. Why? Because they didn't do your will. Well, same thing with God. He says, after you have done the will of God, you receive the promise. Yeah, it's beneficial. So what is the will of God? Some things in the Bible are clearly outlined, exactly telling us exactly what is the will of God. Have you ever asked yourself, what's the will of God? I wonder, what would God have me to do? I've asked that question myself many a times. Yeah? Sometimes the answer is very simple. It's clearly illustrated in the Bible. The clear things in the Bible are not the difficult things in the Bible. It's like black and white. There it is. If you can tell. It's clear. Aren't you glad for those verses? Yeah? Well, let's just focus on some of the things that are clear, that are clearly the word of God, something that we can endeavor to accomplish through the blood of the everlasting covenant to do his will. Let's look at a couple. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, this is the will of God. Pause. Here it comes. This is the will of God. Are you ready? He's going to tell us. This is the will of God. You are wondering. You ask the question. Here it comes. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. You want to be holy? You want to be a saint, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication.
Amen. That's
right. I happen to know there's a lot of young ladies that found themselves pregnant and in a weeping moment said, "Oh, had I only listened to the scriptures and abstained from fornication. Now my life is difficult. It's hard. I'm alone with a child. I don't have a husband." What happened? They didn't do the will of God. And you dirty, rotten, filthy boy that went and got that girl pregnant and left her alone, God's coming for you.
Amen.
There's no fornicators in heaven. They're going to be burning in an everlasting hell. And if I were you, young man, I would fall on my face and cry out to God that he might have mercy, and then you go take care of that girl and that child. What is the will of God? That ye should abstain from fornication. I think we probably ought to park here for about 2 hours.
Amen.
Seems like this is a major problem. Sexually transmitted disease are on the rise. Almost 1 billion, that's 1 billion with the B, 1 billion people in the world have an STD. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people not doing the will of God. I don't know how many of them out there didn't get caught. But the will of God is that you abstain from fornication. And did you know fornication is not just a physical act? Fornication is something that it's in the heart.
Amen.
He said if you look on a woman in your heart with lust after her, you commit adultery in your heart. Did you know that when you love something more than God, that's an act of fornication? You're giving your pleasures to somebody that's not God? He said, abstain from fornication. This is the will of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it?
Amen. Yeah, amen.
How many are doing the will of God? Don't raise your hand. Are you doing the will of God? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks. In everything. Yeah. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How about that one? Exercise for all of us to see how well we're doing the will of God. I've done this several times and I've come up short. On Sunday night, I told myself, okay, this week, I'm going to do my best at work. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to complain. This week, I'm going to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. No matter what the situation is, the boss gives me more work. My colleagues don't do their work. No matter what happens, I'm going to give thanks. That's my determination. That lasts about Monday, 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:05, and I've already got problems.
Right.
Do you want to see how good you are? Try to give thanks in everything.
Mm.
You want to see how faithful you are? Try to give thanks in everything.
Amen.
Do you want to do the will of God? Is that your desire? Give thanks in everything. I write it on my board, in my little cubicle. It says, give thanks. Rejoice always. Remember your attitude. I have to remind myself. Why do we gather? So that we can be reminded of the things that we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Well, here is the will of God written in black and white ink for us. This is the will of God, that in everything you give thanks.
Amen.
How are you doing?
Amen.
How are you doing?
Amen.
Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For this is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. It seems to me that God's saying that you ought to do well. In other words, you ought to do the right thing. Because it's the right thing to do. Doesn't matter what the consequences are, that you ought to do the right thing, no matter the consequences. It may work well for you, it may not. I think Peter says in another place, he says, if the will of God be so, that you suffer. Yeah? That just may be. But are you willing to do the right thing no matter what? Is it getting quiet in here?
Amen. Amen.
So is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. There's a certain amount of pleasure in doing the will of God when you do the right thing and then you're justified for it. Yeah. I'll give you an example. Way back in the day when I was in the Air Force, all of my Air Force, I was a believer, a young believer, very zealous. And my colleagues, they wanted to rub my nose in it. Oh, you're a Christian, are you? And they took every chance to prove that I wasn't. They would make me pick up the most terrible things. They would sit there at what we call guard mount, and they would smoke. And then they'd throw their cigarette butts on the ground. And then they'd holler, "Riggs, come get these cigarette butts off the ground." Boy, that was hard to give thanks. And boy, you know, I did it, but oh man, if that cat could talk, what tales he'd tell, because boy, there were things, I never said anything, but I'm telling you, they were right there. They were right there, and I'm sure the Lord heard them. But one day, I realized, you know what? They're gonna keep on doing this, no matter what. So I can go on and keep on having a bad attitude and grumbling and getting ready to say things I shouldn't say and biting my tongue and being frustrated, or I can just start rejoicing. And so you know what? The next guard mount, my attitude changed, and they said, "Rich, come over here and pick up these cigarette butts." Hallelujah, man, there's a cigarette butt for the Lord. I'm going to get this one too, and I'm so happy in Jesus, man. He saved my soul. I'm not going to smell like a cigarette because I'm going to be in heaven, and they're not going to burn my soul. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I'd go back to the barracks and say, "Hey, Riggs, the washer's out. You got to come fix it." And everything that went wrong, it was blamed on me. But I changed my attitude. I said, "I'm not worried about the will of men. I'm worried about the will of God. And what is the will of God? That I rejoice in all things, that I give thanks in all things. That is clearly the will of God. Can I do it?" It's not easy. And so I got that old track. You remember the old Chick track, Holy Joe?
Yeah,
ever read that track? Holy Joe, he's in there, he's a soldier, and he's in there polishing the boots of his coworker. I said, "Man, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that." So I went in there and I got the boots of my colleagues that are always giving me a hard time, and I'm in there shining. I already ironed their uniforms. I got the uniforms all set up, and now I'm in there cleaning their boots, and they come in, "Riggs, what are you doing in here? We got things for you to do." I said, "Well, I'm kind of busy right now." "Yeah, you're always doing something for yourself. Why don't you do something for somebody else?" "Well, I'm kind of busy right now." "Yeah, well, why don't you shine our boots?" "These are your boots."
Wow, praise the Lord.
Silent night. Holy night. There is something about doing the will of God that puts to silence evil workers.
Yeah, amen.
How about that? All right, so the point is, some things are clearly the Word of God. I think you and I have all the rest of our lives just to do those things that are clear.
Amen.
I think it's pretty clear you shouldn't lie.
Amen. Right.
I think it's pretty clear you ought to read your Bible.
Amen.
I think it's pretty clear you ought to give thanks.
Amen.
I think it's pretty clear that you ought to come to church.
Amen.
I think it's pretty clear you ought to give. I mean, there's a lot of things in the Bible that are really clear. You don't have to wonder, you don't have to ponder, you don't have to ask anybody. It's written there. Don't do this, do this.
Amen.
Don't do that, do this. Yeah? Would you agree?
Amen.
Lots of things in the Bible clearly tell us what to do. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Work on doing those things.
Amen.
That's the will of God. But what happens when it's not so clear? What happens when you're a believer and you have a dilemma? Well, what should I do? Should I continue to preach in Gdansk or should I move to Gdynia? Should I preach in this city or that city? Should I stay here in San Antonio or should I go to Poland? What should I do? What is the will of God? We all have these, if we love the Lord, if we're doing the will of God and other things that are clear, we all have these perplexing moments when we just don't know. There's not, we look in the Bible, there's nothing in the Bible that says go to Poland. I mean, there's things in the Bible that are clearly within the will of God. He said, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is my logic. All right, he said, go in all the world. Poland's part of the world. That's within the will of God to go to Poland. That was my thinking. But isn't it true that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death? Amen. Isn't there times when you think, you know, I think this is the right way to go, but I don't want to go the wrong way. And isn't it true that we think about some of the scriptures like Jeremiah? He says, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And doesn't it put a little bit of trepidity in us and a little bit of fear and quaking and you're thinking, Lord, I want to do this, but I'm just not sure. Because I want to do the will of God. I love you, Lord. I want to do your will. But I don't know, you know, should I get this job or that job? Should I give up this job to do that? What do we do when we come to these perplexing moments? Let me say that we ought not to focus on the perplexing moments when there's so much other things that we can do. Don't neglect the things that are clear while you're worrying about the perplexities. Am I making that clear?
Amen.
Yeah? There's too many things that are clear in the Bible. Yeah? Do those.
Amen.
But what do we do when we come to these perplexities? And like I said, if sometimes some things come up, if the will of God be so, clearly that in such situations we ought to respond with Christian charity. We ought to respond to any situation that confronts us as the servants of Christ. That is the will of God. No matter what circumstance we find in, we respond as servants of Christ. Clear?
Amen.
Okay. He says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Mm-hmm. There are some promises in the Bible. I just want to give you a few. He says in Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's a promise. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And I think he is the good man, delights in the way of God. Yeah? And God directs his steps. You know what I have a great confidence in? That the shepherd knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And you know what the shepherd does? He guides the sheep.
Amen.
And the sheep don't know where they're going, they're just following the shepherd. Wherever the shepherd leads. I don't know what might happen tomorrow, but I know the shepherd's going to be there. Does that make sense? All right, here's some things that we can do. Psalm 119, 133 says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. This ought to be our prayer. If we're servants of Christ, we ought to be crying out, God, order my steps. Lord, you know I want to do your will. Don't lead me astray. Deliver me from temptations. Order my steps. And notice what he says, order my steps in thy word. You ought to be in the word of God. If you're saturating yourself in the word of God, the will of God becomes more clear. He says, show me thy ways. Psalm 25, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Sometimes we just have to wait.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't know what to do here. I'm just waiting on you. As far as I know, I'm supposed to be going in this direction. If you don't want me to go in this direction, let me know. Seems like that's what Paul did, didn't he? he essayed to go into this city, or he essayed to go in Asia, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go. Why? Because he loved the Lord. He was trying to do the will of God. He's trying to get the gospel to every creature, and he wanted to go in this part, and God said, I don't want you there. He just worked it out. He ended up in Philippi. Isn't that what happened? Acts chapter 16, in case you're wondering. He says in Psalm 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Amen.
Did you know what? Let me tell you a secret. God is not in the gotcha business. A lot of people think God is a gotcha God. He's just looking to trip you up. God's not playing in heaven and saying, let's see if they can find my will or not. I've got a hit over here. Let's see if they can find it. You know what God is doing? God is interested in giving you the delights of your heart.
Amen.
He's interested. And if you're saturated with the Word of God and your heart and attitude is right and you're trying to find the will of God, God will just give you the delights of your heart. Lord, I'd like to go here and preach the gospel. God just might open the door for you and allow you to do that. Lord, I'd like to do this for you. God just might make it easy for you to do that because you're delighting in Him. He says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Do you see how many times the psalmist and the preacher and the proverbs come back to the Word of God? Saturate yourself in the Word of God. Come and hear the preaching of the Word of God. Read the Bible yourself and read the Bible with your children and your family. Get saturated with the Word of God. And then the Word of God seems to guide our steps. It's a lamp on our path. Another thing we can do, he says, without counsel, purposes are disappointing. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Every purpose is established by counsel, and good advice make war. Did you know it's good just to get advice? Don't be going to ask the wicked what to do. They will lead you astray. Find godly counselors. Find somebody that's interested in your soul. Not their benefit, but your benefit and for the glory of God. Find somebody like that and ask them, what do you think? Instead of rushing off pell-mell doing whatever you want to do. Seek advice. Then that great promise, every believer probably has memorized this verse. If you haven't, you ought to. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
Somebody asked me one time, did God call you to Poland? I said, directly, no. I mean, some of the brethren, they speak like, you know, God speaks to them in a still small voice. I never heard a voice that said to me, hey Brent, I need you to get you over to Poland. Can you get there by tomorrow? I never heard that. You know what I heard? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what I heard? I went over to with Bill and visited Poland, and we're coming back on a plane. We said, man, somebody needs to come back here and preach. You know what I said? I'll do it. Hear my Lord, send me. And you know what? It worked out that the door opened.
Amen.
The door opened. Sometimes you have a desire in your heart to do the will of God. You want to please Him. You know He's interested in lost souls. Sometimes just knock on the door and the door might just open for you. How many times did Paul pray for an open door? Yeah? Go through the open door that God gives you. He says, acknowledge Him and He'll direct you. He'll direct your path. Trust in Him. Lord, it's not in me. I'm not smart enough. I'll go the wrong way every time. Lord, You're the shepherd. Guide me. Show me what to do. Does that make sense to you, brethren?
Amen.
It makes sense to me. Do the will of God that's clear. Be obedient to the things of God. Try it this week. Give thanks for all things. Give thanks for your boss. Give thanks for your teacher. Give thanks for your husband. Give thanks for your husband.
Amen.
I'm not meddling. I'm just it saying, give thanks to your husband. Give thanks for your wife.
Amen.
Give thanks for your children.
Amen.
Give thanks for your pastors.
Amen.
Give thanks for your pastors.
Amen.
Give thanks for your pastors.
Amen.
I'm meddling now. I know I'm meddling. Aren't you happy to be saved?
Amen.
We've got a great shepherd.
Amen.
And he's interested in our souls.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants to bless us. Be careful. I'm not saying your bank account's going to be filled up. I'm saying he wants to bless us.
Thank you, Lord.
And sometimes his will is that we have an empty bank account.
Yeah.
And that would be a blessing of God if it comes from him, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If the will of God be so.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, let's thank the Lord. I apologize for the time. Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for this book that you've given to us, the Word of God, the Scriptures. We thank you for the salvation that you've given to us, the opportunity to meet in your name in the comfort of a building. We're thankful for that. I pray if anybody's not saved this morning, they might come to know you as their Savior. I pray for those that are seeking your will, they might find it and be obedient to it. What a blessing it is to do the will of God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, the Lord bless you. Have a great, wondrous day.
Amen.